Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
With me over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want to preach a message that I've entitled, To Whom Shall We Go? And this is actually a question that's asked in the Bible, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I want to ask, while you guys are turning over there, I want to figure out the personality of everybody in here. How many of you guys would say that you are really detailed planners? Like when it comes to an event or something like that, you kind of have to plan it out and have the details. How many of you are like that? All right. Now, how many of you are the opposite? You just like get your hands dirty and you'll figure it out after as you go. Okay. Those of you that didn't raise, that probably means you're a planner because you had to think about it. You're still thinking. Okay. That's all right. I probably tend to be more of the planner. I'm kind of OCD about that. I have a list that I make every day of things that I have to get done. And if I don't have that, it's like everything's floating and it freaks me out. So I'm kind of more detail oriented. But how many know when it comes to our walk with God, you know, it's okay to make plans and be detailed and have backup plans and backup plans. But when it comes to our walk with God, there's no backup plan. Amen. We're all in. That's what the message that I would give to these next step graduates is, we're all in. There's no going back. Amen. And that's why we're doing things like the next step class. And so as we're turning over to John chapter 6, this is a really powerful chapter. The whole chapter, you can see a lot of examples of Jesus doing a lot of different miracles. It starts off where he feeds the 5,000. You might know that story, that he takes a couple of loaves and some fish and he feeds 5,000 people by a creative miracle. You read a little bit later and the disciples are in a boat and he walks across the water to get to the disciples and climbs in the boat. These are big time miracles. And if you read about it, it's a lot of people are experiencing these miracles. A lot of people are seeing it and the fame of Jesus is starting to spread like wildfire. People are starting to follow him. It's like he's like a celebrity. He can't go anywhere without crowds of people looking for him. And so this particular time, we're going to read in John chapter 6, verse 25. And we'll read about that. It says, And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So if we pause right there, what Jesus is really saying there is that you're seeking me because of the miracles that I did. You know, of course, if somebody feeds 5,000 people, that's something people are going to want to follow, right? Especially back then. Hey, free food. We don't have to worry about being hungry anymore. This guy's got power. He can heal the sick. He can do all of these things. They're looking at the blessings. They're looking at what can Jesus do for me? How can Jesus serve my needs? Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but what Jesus was saying is, you're following me only because of that, but you're not following me because of the sign. You're not understanding why I'm doing these things. And this is what I want to dive into tonight is, you know, the miracles that Jesus was doing in the Bible, miracles that he does even today, they are meant to accompany salvation. Those miracles were supposed to point to Jesus as the Messiah that they were waiting for. They were supposed to look at those miracles and say, whoa, he just fed 5,000 people. He walks on water. He heals the sick. He's telling us that he can save us from our sins. This must be the Son of God. But they weren't seeking him. Now, I mean, if you thought the Son of God was here on earth, wouldn't you be trying to find him? You would think. But they were seeking him, it says, because of being fed. And so he continues right here in verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So instead of focusing on the carnal, focusing on being blessed, and focusing on what Jesus could do for them, What they should have been focused on is that this is the man that can give us eternal life. This is the man that can save us from our sins. This is the one and only chance that we have to be saved. Amen? So instead of focusing on carnal, they could have been focused on the eternal. He's talking about food. He called in just a second, we'll see, he calls himself the bread of life. What they were doing is they were basing their faith on blessing. How many know if we base our faith and how much we love God and how faithful we are to serve him based on how much he blesses us or how well things are going, we're not going to make it. How many since you've been saved, you got a flat tire? I've had cars worth of flat tires. How many you've gotten sick since you've been saved? You know, you've had different things. Life happens. There's a devil out there. Amen? And so the fact is, if we're basing our faith just on how well things seem to be going on the outside, we won't make it very long. What Jesus was saying is that I'm the bread of life. In other words, even when things aren't going right, I'll sustain you. That's what he's talking about. He said in verse 28 of our text here, he says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? When I read that, I think they just missed it completely. He just told them all this, that you should be focusing on the eternal, focus on salvation. And their response is, what should we do that we can work the works of God? They saw the miracles. They saw that he was multiplying food. They saw all these amazing things, and they said, how can we do that? How can we get that? How can we get the power to do that? And to me, they just totally missed what Jesus was trying to tell them. And so in the next verse, in verse 29, he simplifies it. You know, the gospel is not meant to be that complicated. It's a simple gospel for common people, amen? And so verse 29, Jesus answers, and it says, he said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's the simple gospel right there. What he's saying is, don't worry about that. Just believe in me. Just believe in Jesus. That's the gospel, plain and simple. Amen? And so anything that goes beyond or goes around or tries to find a work around believing in Jesus, that's not the gospel. It's false. Because everything that we believe in and everything that has to do with the gospel starts and ends with our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did when he died on the cross for us. Amen? If it weren't for that, we wouldn't have salvation. This is the simple gospel. And then, of course, God does want to bless us. He wants us to prosper. He wants to give us good things. He was happy to feed those 5,000 and to do those things. And it comes as a result of our salvation. It comes as a result of us trusting in God, even when things aren't going right, or seemingly when it seems like they're not going right. So if you skip ahead there in John chapter 6 to verse 35, he continues and Jesus keeps explaining it. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So he's talking about eternally. He's talking about that, things in our life might not be perfect, but spiritually speaking, there's hope. Amen? With our salvation, hope with our life day to day, we have a hope. If you've ever lived, we've all lived without hope.